VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin today, we want to welcome new listeners to Crosstalk in Mecca and Palm Springs, California, over KVPW 97.7 FM with a translator in Palm Desert, California at 98.1. Welcome to Crosstalk. Looking forward to having you join us each day just at the noon hour Pacific time for joining us here on the broadcast. And we trust that you'll make it a part of your daily listening. Well, friends, there is a growing skepticism toward God in our culture today. Some will deny God exists. Others will say they simply do not know, yet others just hope that a God exists. But God does not want us to simply know that he exists or guess that he might exist. He wants us to know that he does exist and to know that the Bible is his timeless and changeless revelation to mankind. You know, we're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Listen to this, "so that they are without excuse." We're also told in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Indeed, nature itself reveals there is a God. And because of this, every person is accountable and without excuse. Joining us today, we welcome Bruce Malone to our studios, Executive Director of Search for the Truth Ministries. It's an organization that widely disseminates Bible-affirming creation materials. Bruce has spent over 30 years bringing the scientific knowledge and evidence for creation to churches and schools and seminars throughout the United States and around the world. He has authored or co-authored some 10 books on evidence for creation. Prior to this, 27 years as research leader with Dow Chemical Corporation. He has a Bachelor of Science degree in chemical engineering, holds some 17 patents for new products. With us today discussing his released devotional, Without Excuse, The Compelling Evidence for Creation. Bruce, good to have you in studio today.
Jim, it is a privilege and an honor to be back on VCY and back with you again.
Well, so good to have you with us. And we're going to get to your book in just a short while. But so often we are dealing with issues here on this program that shows that we have a world in chaos. I mean, right now we've got the Middle East, you know, as a powder keg right now. We've got a couple years ago, we had Russia invade Ukraine. There's no signs of things letting up.
Right.
Communist China wanting to just flex its muscles, you know, on the world stage, want to be seen as the world leader. North Korea, of course, we are seeing the posturing that's going on there. We don't know what China's going to invade Taiwan at any given point. And people sometimes come away from the news events of our time and wonder, is there anything good that's happening in this world today? Yeah. I'm going to have you take us to the South Pacific because you have recently been in Fiji and you are saying, yes, God very much is at work in Fiji right now.
Very
so
much.
Enlighten us what's going on.
Well, I'll take you back to 2017. I've, throughout my career, as I've went out and left Dow Chemical and been speaking and teaching on the evidence for creation, I would do missions trips. And back 6 years ago, I was with a missionary who was just committed to try to reach the next generation with biblical truth, with a foundation of reality based on what the Bible had to say about history, where we came from. And I suggested if we were to bring a team of qualified scientific speakers, scientists, and do an hour-long science assembly in their public high schools and give every student one of these books that I've written that each day of the year there's a page that talks about an evidence from geology, genetics, biology, astronomy about how God has been involved in science and history and creation. Do you think we could get into their public education system? And he became very excited. And ultimately, it's kind of a long story, the Department of Education of an entire nation asked us to go and do a science assembly that talked about science but didn't leave God out to their public schools. We were in 168 out of 178 high schools. Spoke to 68,000 students over a four-year period, and every one of them got one of these full-color hardcover books. And And now we're repeating the process after the schools opened up after COVID with a whole new set of students. So ultimately, we will have spoken to some 20 to 25% of every student in that nation.
Wow.
Who are then sharing the books with their parents, their neighbors, their cousins. And it's being followed up because this opens up the school to allow a one-hour Christian discipleship class in these schools. So now the missionaries and the retired Christian teachers can come in and for 1 hour every week for the entire school year, follow up with what does it mean to live a Christian life? How do you resist temptation? How should you be treating other people in all the principles of Christianity and moral code? So by starting showing the students they can know that they have a God by looking at creation and knowing and things couldn't have done it themselves, the only alternative is that God had to have done creation of energy, creation of stars, creation of life. Those things couldn't have happened naturally. It tees up the ball. Every presentation ends with, but you, more important, you need to know this creator loves you so much, he became a human being and he died literally for your sinfulness. And you can never be good enough to live in heaven forever. You can never get rid of your sins. There has to be a price paid.
Yeah.
It's death and he paid it for you. So we're combining the reality you have a creator with the reality that you have a savior. And it's so powerful.
It is powerful. And we can only imagine the transforming effect it's having upon these young lives and upon the families as a whole.
And it takes a generation. Mm-hmm. You know, once a generation has drifted away from Christianity and they're living in relativism and my rules are as good as your rules and how do you know what truth is anyway? It's going to take a generation to turn it around, but this is the foundation by which it can be turned around.
Amen. And I mean, we see what happens. I mean, I often hearken back to Joshua. As for me, my house will serve the Lord, and all the people, you know, proclaimed that they were standing with him in that. But Judges chapter 2, verse 10, which is very troubling about a generation that raised up after them that knew not God, didn't know the wonderful works that God had done.
And that took two generations. Mm-hmm. That's all it took for a nation to fall.
And so how important it is for us to reach this generation right here, even in the United States of America.
Now, sadly, going clear back to 1949, we foolishly as a nation allowed a group of men to say there has to be a separation of church from state. Well, the state runs the school system, the training of the next generation by and large. Anything to do with God is church, so it's by law kept out. Now, teachers can make a little difference, but the system is designed ever since then to leave out the evidence dealing with God, and there is extensive evidence in the area of science that does just that.
And your book here, entitled Without Excuse, is one that points out this very aspect. You heard my opening of the program today and matters that are going
on.
Without
excuse.
There are many skeptics that will do their best to deny or even question the existence of God. But first of all, let me ask, why do they believe that? Why is there such a denial of God?
Well, let me get really basic on you. Sin is reality. And it is the bent of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God had to make a choice from the very beginning. People exist not because we came from apes, but because God formed two fully formed, fully functional adult human beings. One day they weren't in existence. The next day they were here on planet Earth. It's clear, straightforward scriptural teaching. It's been believed by thousands of years. Now, God had to give a choice. If there was no choice, there is no freedom. If there's freedom, there's no love. There had to be a choice to disobey for there to be true love between the Creator and us. And He made us in His image, and God has choice, so do we. We chose to say, I don't want you to make the rules, I want to make the rules. In essence, I don't want you to be God, I want to be God. At that moment, there is a fracture between fellowship of perfect, holy, just purity, that's God, and sinful mankind. Yeah. And the penalty of that is clearly stated throughout Scripture is death. Why? So we wouldn't live forever separated from God. That's the start of the gospel story. And then he came and took that penalty on upon himself. What was the response of Adam and Eve? To hide from God. They knew they were sinful. They knew he's holy and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
What's the response throughout the scripture when people face the glory and purity of God? They fall on their face in ashes and repent. Just the contrast between him and us. I think evolution gives the perfect excuse of the modern world over the last 100-plus years to pretend God is irrelevant. Everything can be explained without him. He's pushed billions of years into the past. And when you train generation after generation of children that this is fact and reality, when in actuality it's fantasy land, they become incapable of viewing things any other way. Mm-hmm. It's sort of how the human mind is built. Once you're trained to think in a certain way, it's really, really tough to even consider any other possibility, even when it's obvious.
And if we admit there's a God, then we have an accountability before
we do. It's back to that let's hide from God accountability
right.
issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the root of it.
You are a strong believer that creation itself points us to a creator God. Do you really believe that the evidence is strong enough to arrive at this conclusion that man would be without excuse?
Oh, absolutely. It's undeniable. And it's based on the very laws of science. You see, the very first command God gave to Adam and Eve was to take dominion over creation. Now, that's an ancient Hebrew word that if you get into the roots of it, it's not ownership. It means study, understand, and control. He gave us the all of mankind the responsibility to study, understand, and control creation. That is science. He told mankind to do science. Now, what is science? It's the study of how does creation operate, okay? And we come up with a hypothesis, and if we get lots of data that support it, it becomes a theory. And if everything we've ever observed confirms it, it's a law. There's a law of science that says matter and energy can never be created and never be destroyed. It's known as the conservation of matter in engineering, in biology. And there's never been an observation, never been an experiment, never been anything ever shown or observed that contradicts it. No scientist has even made an atom appear or disappear. Matter can become energy, energy, matter, but there's an equal amount. So there's only two possibilities to explain time, space, energy, matter. The whole universe, everything in it. Either it made itself from nothing, because if you start with something, you got to say, where did it come from? Or there's something outside the universe that made it all. There are no other options. If there's another option, we could discuss it, but there are no other options. Cosmic evolution, chemical evolution, biological evolution, it all assumes it's a belief system. It's not science. It's a belief system that it all made itself, starting with nothing. Well, the law of science says that's impossible. It could never happen. Every observation says it has never happened. Yeah. So we know that option's not true. Does that prove God exists? No, but logically, that has to be the correct answer. And by the way, that's how science works. It can't definitively prove something's true, but it can show other alternatives can't be true. So God has made creation so we'll know the truth. And that's just one example.
And we are often told that you cannot be a scientist and yet believe in this religious stuff as well.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are said are just smoke and mirrors, mm-hmm. and they're intimidation and they're just pressure to get you to think the way I think. Almost all of the founders of modern science, and we're talking Isaac Newton, Michael Faraday, James Maxwell, Lord Kelvin, Louis Pasteur, they were all strong, Bible-believing, recent creation Christians that realized if God is creator, the universe ought to be understandable in a systematic way, and they went on to develop modern science. So the idea you can't believe in creation and science is absurd, and it's actually wrong.
Bruce Malone with us here today on Crosstalk Without Excuse, Compelling Evidence for Creation. We'll get more into the book after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has it finally happened? Can computers outthink humans?
No, they can't, Chris. Now, they can outperform humans on some difficult task, but they're not really thinking. For instance, calculators can do mathematical manipulations much more quickly and accurately than humans. But keep in mind, they were designed by humans and programmed to do these various tasks. They're not thinking, they're just doing the things they were designed to do. No, Chris, machines can't actually think, nor do they exercise real judgment. This is reserved for mankind, created in the image of God, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, simply visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org. This is Chris O'Brien. God bless.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Bruce Malone, Executive Director of Search for the Truth Ministries. And so good to have you in studio today, actually speaking over a period of days multiple times.
Yep, I'm speaking six times here in the Milwaukee area over the next 3 days.
Wonderful. Well, glad you could be here in studio with us. Yep. And your book, I think it was sent to me here some many months ago, and I said, I've got to get Bruce back on Crosstalk
I'm so glad you did.
To talk about it, and then learning you were going to be in the area just really fit together here. But you've co-authored this book, Without Excuse, The Compelling Evidence for Creation. And in the very foreword to the book, here's what is written. Molecules to Man Evolution is the ultimate in false revisionist history that blinds people to reality. Putting the truth of creation in front of people has the power to open their eyes and set them free from deception, ultimately leading them to accept that God loves them enough to have become a human and died in their place as payment for their sins.
Well, you know, the most attacked parts of the Bible really are those early parts. The idea of a worldwide flood is completely discarded and ridiculed by the academic world. Mm-hmm. The idea of a God's involvement in creation is totally ignored and denied. So if you could show people the most attacked and disparaged parts of the Bible are actually truth and reality, and this whole cosmic, biological, chemical evolution, life came alive all by itself, is a scientific impossibility, all of a sudden the rest of the Bible starts to become much more credible to people. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, if you don't believe me when I speak of worldly things, how are you going to believe me when I speak of spiritual things?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on and why this is so important.
So give us an overview, if you would, of your book, Without Excuse, The Compelling Evidence for Creation.
Well, this is the fourth in a series. A little bit of a backstory, which I think your listeners will find interesting. Probably 20 years ago, our church would do a Super Bowl party for the whole city, and they'd bring all the youth, and at halftime, they would give the gospel message in a big auditorium, and they'd feed them pizza and pop and get them all hyped up, and then they'd watch the game. And I asked the youth pastor, could I have 5 minutes to do just a little bit of the evidence for creation and show those kids that the Bible is real and in the areas of science? And I did this great demonstration where I blow apart a pin and I throw the parts in a can and then I put in a firecracker and see, is it going to come back together because of explosion and energy and randomness? And then I pull out a reassembled pin after the firecracker goes off and they all laugh. And then I gave them a book called Refuting Evolution by Jonathan Safardi. Mm-hmm. This is 20 years ago. They were offering it for $1. I gave away 500 copies. And weeks later, I asked the kids, so how'd you like the book? I couldn't find any student who had read it because it looked like another textbook, just filled with all sorts of great information, but they weren't reading it. And I decided right then, if I'm going to write books, they're going to be visual, they're going to be short, and they're going to be fun to read. So I started writing these things I call creation devotionals, where every day of the year, there's this just eye-dropping, jaw-opening example of God's creativity and genius. As you look at everything from like a sunflower, which follows the sun from morning to evening and turns its head. How does it even do that? To animals in parts of our body that could never make themselves. And there's categories of anatomy and biology and genetics and the fossil record and the worldwide flood and astronomy. Each topic on a different page with just a short little example. And people have loved these books. They read them to their kids. They give them to neighbors. Most people buy them 10 at a time to give away because they're just so much fun to read.
Yeah, and just they are fun to read. They're easy to look at. They're short. You get right to the point. You make great points.
Highly illustrated. Almost every page has a gorgeous illustration of whatever creature or animal you're looking at.
400 glossy pages, hundreds of full-color illustrations that are in the book. Friends will tell you how you can obtain a copy, but let's get into some of the information.
Sure, there's just fun stuff.
You've got a copy before you here, and one of the things that very early, January 4th, looking in your devotional, you use various disciplines of science from the very first devotional all throughout, but the working of the human body, absolutely remarkable. And I'd like you to comment on this devotional laid out on January 4th, because for evolution to happen, that usually happens over a period of long processes, but it's totally not possible with just looking at the design of the human body.
Just our body. You know, we think of our body, wow, it's pretty complex. The eyes are complex and the heart are complex and so on. It's actually all of the things that our body are parts of systems. I mean, you have the circulatory system where the heart has to pump the blood and the blood has to go through the veins and the arteries and get to all the cells of the entire body and then capillaries and back again. But for that to work, you have to have a respiratory system that has to bring in the oxygen. It spreads that oxygen from the air over the surface area of our lungs, or the same surface area as a tennis court. That's how much surface area is in each of our lungs, which is absorbed into the blood so that it has oxygen to take to the cells. But that doesn't work unless you have a digestive system that brings nutrition that is then carried into the circulatory system to the cells. And all these things have to be there. I mean, not only the parts, the heart, the blood vessels, the blood cells, but the whole system to carry it all around. And it's working with other systems. And there's 11 of these systems, the nervous system, the circulatory system, the endocrine system, the urinary system, to take the waste away. Now, if any of them are missing, nothing works.
Yeah.
So it is astounding and mind-boggling that any medical doctor could go through medical school studying this stuff and think, oh, just one little tiny random mistake, which is what a mutation is, could develop even the parts of the system, let alone one system, let alone all the systems that are all needed there for a body to function. And this is God showing us, if you have an open mind, you should be astounded at the genius of the Creator.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And just the human body itself bearing that out. Look forward here to January 8th in your devotional. You point out that the engineers of a jet engine have, in essence, copied the design of a falcon.
Oh, yeah. And that's just a fun one. And there's pages here called Design. And my lecture, by the way, on Tuesday night is Designs That Have Led to Us, Discoveries That Have Changed All of Human Culture. But, you know, a falcon can dive at 200 miles an hour. And its eyes are designed with, like, goggle, extra third lenses that come down that act like goggles. But the problem is, at those speeds, there's two little openings in the beak of a falcon that allow oxygen to come in, because it's got to get air while it's diving. But at those speeds, air is going to go around that opening. It's not going to go into that opening. It's actually going to be forced out and around and away from that opening. It's not going to be able to breathe. So you will notice, and there's a picture on the page showing the beak of this falcon. At the center of that little circular opening, there's a small little cone-shaped bone at the very center of that opening. Now, go and look at any jet engine. If you've ever been in an airport, or look at a picture of a jet, at the center of the intake of a jet engine, there's a perfect circular little cone-shaped thing to which the jet rotor will spin around. That is there to allow enough air to be forced into that jet engine opening to feed the fuel that feeds the turbine that runs the jet engine. It's an exact copy of what God put onto a 200-mile-an-hour diving falcon. And that's just, it's like, show these things to your kids.
Right.
Read these at bedtime or at mealtime, because they're just going to be stunned. I mean, we get numb to it as adults. But kids need to hear
God's design. I don't know. I'm kind of fascinated
design.
By this, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty neat.
It is so cool.
But, friends, again, and you'll see that illustration right there from the nose of the falcon and compare that to the jet engine as well. You see that duplicate design.
And by the way, the point is to point all this stuff back to God. Just that daily reminder, God's behind it all. And at the bottom, every page, there's a little scripture. On January 8th, it's, Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
Just short, simple reminder.
You know, Scripture tells us to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Mm-hmm. And really, this is a book that's really propels us to be able to do that. Parents sharing with their children or sharing it with their youth.
Yeah. I know I'm speaking to largely a Christian audience. And even most Christians, they just don't have the ability and the money and the capability to send their kids to a Christian school. So about 95% of children are going through a public education system. God is being left out. So at best, with thousands of hours of teaching, and it permeates every subject in school, the assumption that everything made itself and God's not there in millions and billions of years, they're going to come away with the impression that God is at best irrelevant and at worst non-existent. And only 14% of kids coming out of college right now are expressing any interest in attending any sort of Christian church. Hmm. And the reason they say, well, we don't believe what the church teaches. Well, we have got to go around it. We've got to find ways of not just on Sunday morning for a little bit, but on a periodic basis as they're growing, put God at the center of everything, including science, history, and reality. And that's why that scripture you mentioned, in the days of their youth, that forms the framework of truth and reality in children. That's why there's such a battle over school systems, because we've got to get it in front of them.
Moms, dads, this is how we impact our children. Grandpas, grandmas, is how we impact our grandchildren for Christ.
Older Christians, you still have influence over your great-grandchildren and your grandchildren. If you had a book like this and you wrote your testimony, what God has done in your life in your handwriting, or type it up and place it in the front and give such a book to all your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, it's going to impact their thinking. It can make a difference.
Let's hit another aspect. We're just going to turn a page over, because on the January 10th devotional, you actually use the illustration of slug slime in your use of biology, a devotional on the inspiration toward medical glue. Tell us about it.
You know, first of all, I got it. Both the last two pages you've picked. For the last 2 years, I've been doing like 2 and 3 minute little videos that have all sorts of animation and nature footage in just 2 minutes. And this book has little QR codes, so you can point your phone at the QR code, and after reading the page, you get to watch a 2 or 3 minute video of exactly what you've just read. And both those pages with the falcon and the slug have this. But what it turns out, there's a slug in Europe that when it crawls along, it leaves a slime trail. All slugs do. You can see this watery trail. But this particular trail, when a slug is frightened, like a bird screeches or it's overhead, they'll sense it. They put out a kind of slime which is really, really sticky, and it actually glues them to the sidewalk. So if a bird tries to grab them, they're stuck to the sidewalk. Well, the medical industry has been using super glue to like bind up wounds for about 20 years. And researchers are looking for a glue that it becomes brittle and it's also a little bit toxic. And they're thinking, is there some sort of an adhesive that will stay elastic but is really strong? And they noticed this slug slime. So they thought, well, if we could get enough slug slime and start slapping it onto wounds, maybe that, you know, that would work really well. Except, how do you get to slime? The slug has to be scared. And you know, you have movie theaters full of slugs and you scare them with a picture. And that's not going to work well.
Right.
And I show all this sort of video. It's just hilarious. And so what they did, they worked and worked and worked. And they finally figured out what the chemical formula was for that kind of glue based on God's design. They started manufacturing it artificially, and now we have the formula for sticky slug slime glue that is used in the medical industry to seal up wounds, because God made it first.
That's amazing.
It is just, it's really cool.
And that's utilized in this devotional. Friends, we're going to take a break, and right after the break, we're going to share how you can obtain a copy of this book entitled Without Excuse, The Compelling Evidence for Creation. And we could go really page by page, day after day, to point out the fact that this all points us to Creator God.
It does.
And friends, but the bottom line is, because of this creation, we're without excuse. We have accountability before Him, and it behooves each of us to place our trust in the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on account of our sin, that we might have everlasting life. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to share with you that information, as well as some more of the devotionals that's in this book entitled Without Excuse. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Mormonism has been increasing its profile across the United States. Author Ron Rhodes says, although claiming to be Christians, Mormons depart from historical Christianity on a number of essential doctrines. In his book, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon, Ron Rhodes provides fact-filled, easy-to-understand, and essential information to effectively witness biblical truths to people led astray by this false teaching. In this book, you'll discover tools you need to effectively talk to Mormons about their faith and guide them to the biblical God, the biblical Jesus, and the biblical gospel. You'll understand the Mormons' view of the Bible, the origin of the Book of Mormon, the consequences of not acknowledging the Trinity, and the inadequacy of a gospel of works.
The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Bruce Malone is our guest here today, Executive Director of Search for the Truth Ministries. Put together just a fascinating devotional entitled Without Excuse, A Compelling Evidence for Creation. This is a hardcover. It's a durable book. It'll go on and off the shelf. But friends, we'd recommend it stay off the shelf and in your hands. But great to have out on a living room table as well, at the kitchen table. But it has hundreds of full-color illustrations, approximately 400 glossy pages using many disciplines like anatomy, astronomy, biology, botany, genetics, and much more, and combined with scripture, providing the reader with compelling evidence for creation. And as Bruce mentioned just a bit ago, you're going to find throughout this book several QR codes that will automatically take you to a 2 to 3 minute YouTube video teaching on the subject that's addressed on those pages. We're making this book available our way of saying thank you for your support of Crosstalk in the amount of $18 or more. That includes postage, and postage is close to $5 a book coming out to you. So that includes the postage coming to you. It's available right now at vcy.org, vcy.org, or you may reach out to our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. 9829. Just ask for a copy of Without Excuse. And Bruce, you mentioned that many people are getting multiple copies so that they can share them with many. I know you're trying to reach youth with this book, but you're going to reach adults with this book and college age young people.
It is. And it's really written so even like fifth grade and up will get a lot out of it. It's so colorful, so short. And it's great for a fairly early reader. It'll stretch them a little bit. But adults love it. It's just so full of interesting, phenomenally exciting things God has done and made.
So again, folks, vcy.org or 1-800-729-9829. You'll really not find anything like these devotionals that have been produced here from the ministry team at Search for the Truth Ministries. But it's available here through Crosstalk. Your February 17th devotional, you use the discipline of anatomy for that day's devotional. And the first line of the devotional caught my attention. It says, the next time your mom or dad asks, do you have rocks in your head? Answer them, of course, and so do you. And you indicate that there are tiny rocks called ear rocks.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, inside of our ear canal, there are circular channels. And by the way, our ears are our center of balance. To really understand, if you're in an elevator and you're just seeing the walls of the elevator, how do you know if the elevator is moving? Because nothing in your vision is showing there's movement. But as that elevator goes up, those little tiny, smaller than grain of sand minerals, they're basically microscopic rocks, will start to move in that fluid, which moves the fluid and bumps it against other sensors that tell your brain whether you're moving up or whether you're moving down, whether you're moving right or whether you're moving left. Now, this is an intricate system of sensing, analyzing, feedback to the brain, and then sending signals to all your muscles to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a simple, you could randomly change one part of a system and make it all come together. So it's literally the rocks in your head that allow you to walk in a straight, upright manner and know what direction you're heading.
Another devotional from February is February 6th, and you use history to tell us about a tooth that was declared to be half ape and half man.
And this is a classic mistake from the Scopes monkey trial, clear back in 1925, one of the prime examples of where there's absolute scientific proof that man came from monkeys. They had found a single tooth that was sort of a halfway between the molar that you expect to find on an ape, which is primarily a vegetarian and a human being. And it was presented as proof in a rock layer that shows that apes have turned into human beings. Well, they never found anything other than this tooth, and then they just artistically drew a head around the tooth and then added a whole family to the man's head. And it was actually published in the London Times as proof of this Nebraska man. The tooth was found in Nebraska. Well, it was decades later that they discovered that it was the tooth of a pig. It was not the tooth of some sort of an ape turning into a human. And then decades after that, they found out these kind of pigs were still alive down in South America.
Right.
So it was all speculation based on an assumption that, well, obviously there couldn't have just been two people appear here on planet Earth. The only alternative to that, if you don't want to believe God made people, is it something that wasn't a person had to have turned into a person? So for 100 years or more, scientists have looked around and said, well, what looks kind of like people? Well, apes are as close as we can come. Apes must have turned into people. And they'll find little fragments and little bits and little pieces and little skulls with more or less sloped foreheads, and they'll line them up, and it's an assumption that they've turned into human beings. And even the genetic supposed evidence of mankind being 98% identical to humans, that's all been shown to be a fallacy. It turns out now that we've decoded ape DNA and we've decoded human DNA, there are hundreds, not millions, hundreds of millions of differences between apes and humans. And there is no possible scientific way of just changing all that complex information by random changes and changing an ape into a human being.
And look how often we are told, well, look at the similarities in the percent of DNA.
And what they did was way back in the 70s, before we'd even begun to decode DNA, that was stated as a fact. We're 98% similar to humans, and it was repeated over and over and over. They just looked at one or two simple proteins and found similarity between humans and apes. And then they started repeating that over and over until it's locked into the brains of a whole generation.
Yeah.
And it's all turned out to be total fantasy.
And this is why you said repeated over and over again. That's why a book like this is so important, because every single day we're repeating over and over we have a creator. Every single day we're looking at another one of, you know, God's wonderful creations, and over drilling into our hand, yes, indeed, Scripture is true.
And even more important, your children will start to see the things they're hearing in school, what are the problems with them? Mm-hmm. What is being left out? What aren't they being told as they're being guided to think in only one possible way?
March 9th, use astronomy, and it tells about the planet Mercury, and even this refutes evolution as well, the planet Mercury.
Hang on just a second. What date was that?
That was March the 9th.
March the 9th. Let me just review my memory. You're hitting me with these cold here.
Yeah, I know.
That one deals with the magnetic field. I just want to make sure, because different planets give these different indications that they're not millions and billions of years old. Mm-hmm. They have to be much younger. And Mercury is one of those. Now, as we've looked at the different planets and sent out probes, predictions are made based on the assumptions of evolution that the planets exist because all sorts of little chunks of rock have come together billions of years ago to form the planets. Lots of problems with that. Rocks hitting each other in space would bounce off. They wouldn't coalesce into a planet. But it's believed that long ago, any magnetic field should have disappeared or dissipated if that planet sitting that close to the sun and it's hot should have lost its magnetic field. Now, Dr. Russ Humphreys, physicist from Los Sandia National Laboratories, he took the Bible seriously. He's a Christian. And he said, if God formed everything from the waters of the deep, then the planets that were formed from these original waters that were transformed into all the chemicals of the universe in the original creation recently, not over billions of years ago, they should still have a magnetic field. And based on a biblical belief that this was in the 6,000-year-ago range, he predicted what the magnetic field of Mercury should still be. Turns out it should be zero if evolution's true, and it was exactly the strength Humphreys predicted if it was recently created. Mm. So that's just one of those hundreds of examples of how the Bible gives us a model for biology. Creatures are made after their own kind, and there are lots of variation, but very distinct different kinds. There's been a worldwide flood, so the fossils and the rocks were deformed rapidly and recently, and creation should have been formed recently. With the result, we should make predictions like magnetic fields still being there, and they are. So there's all sorts of science backing up the model God gives us for where things came from and how old they are.
Friends, we'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Maybe you've got a question you'd like to ask our guest here today. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Bruce Malone is our guest. And we've not even scratched the surface for what is uncovered in this book. But there is much information here. And folks, again, whether it's a book at the breakfast table, at the dinner table, for a family to read a page together daily, to share with your young people, your grandchildren on a daily basis, what a wonderful graduation gift, whether it be at 8th grade graduation, high school graduation, college graduation, every page is really a discussion in itself.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's reinforcing the credibility of God's word, the reality that he exists, and exposing the misinformation of pretending that everything made itself and life made itself and that apes turned into people and bacteria are our grandfathers.
Well, friends, our phone number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Pastor Mark in Missouri. Hi, Pastor Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, let me preface my question with just something that I feel like I'm aware of. But Pasteur proved in the 1850s that there was his theory of biogenesis, bio-life genesis beginning, and that creation had to have an uncaused first cause because a created thing can't be the original creator. So I'm understanding that even today many people believe in Pasteur's theory or law of biogenesis. I'm not a scientist, I'm a theologian, and I do like to try to prove to people through biblical scripture, and even things like Pasteur's theory of biogenesis that even scientists today believe in, but yet I guess I don't understand how science can at the same time hold to Pasteur's law of biogenesis and yet then have a belief in a generated life generated originally from some other form of life. So
sure.
I guess my question would be, how is it that they can be so ignorant when they know themselves that there has to be an uncaused first cause?
Sure. And that's a great question, Pastor. And by the way, I think you already know the answer to this because you see people holding two totally opposite beliefs about faith and religion and yet believing them both. And the human mind is capable of just doing that, accepting two things they know can't just both be true. And that's what happens. It's because evolution at its very basis is not science. It is a religious philosophy. It's a system that believes only naturalism, only natural causes caused everything. And now we're specifically talking about life. Natural causes brought about life, which means if you start with that foundational belief, then chemicals had to have come alive. And by the way, we train every youth in the entire culture that this is true with the science fiction films they're watching as they see pictations of aliens appearing all over the universe and Avengers and Star Wars and Star Trek. They all have these aliens. Well, what's the implication? Well, life has just popped into existence all over the universe as chemicals have come alive. Now, that's a scientific impossibility, and that's what Pasteur showed, that the Greek belief that life generates itself and just comes out of slime and trash piles and maggots and so on, he systematically, scientifically proved, and there has never, ever been an observation or exception, that life only comes from previously existing life. So it had to have been made by something outside of life. That's God. Furthermore, even the chemicals, even the parts of life, if you think of a pin, might have eight parts, a tip and a spring and an ink cartridge. Those are designed to become a pin, and they're very complex. They have a designer. The proteins of life, and the simplest bacteria has 1,000 of them, are a million times more complex than any part of a pin. So we know it had to have been a creator. And no scientist has ever even been able to cheat starting with chemicals of life and get them to come alive. So we know it's true. To believe otherwise is a faith.
We got a break. We'll be back. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday night of this week, I started a brand new study on the book of Revelation, chapter 1, study 1. You can watch and listen at worldviewtube.com. Sadly, the book of Revelation is not taught by many pastors, and I'm thankful for the ones that do. But it's not taught for many reasons. One reason is because there is a belief that God is done with the nation of Israel. It's called replacement theology. And you know, the book of Revelation, of course, gets into the tribulation, which will be used by God to get the attention of the Jews. And praise the Lord, so many are going to come to Yeshua or Messiah, become great evangelists. And the Bible says so many are coming to Christ, it's almost impossible to number them. I'm thankful for the shepherds that are teaching the book of Revelation. I hope you'll study it with us and on your own. It's more relevant now than it has ever been. I'm Brandon House.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Need another hour or two here just for call-in questions today. But let me just mention, before we pick up our next call, this book, Without Excuse, it's subtitled The Compelling Evidence for Creation. It's a hardcover, a very durable book. The pages are well put together, glossy pages, full-color illustrations, hundreds of them, and covered the different disciplines, as we mentioned, astronomy and biology and anatomy and genetics and so much more. And really provides that compelling evidence. And a young person is going to know and understand this as a family gathering together to do this. And then you'll find on several pages the QR codes that open up a 2 to 3 minute YouTube video teaching on that subject that's on those pages. And we're making this book available, our way of saying thank you for your support of this program that airs daily here on VCY America of Crosstalk, the amount of $18 or more that will include the postage, which was close to $5 just to mail these off. It's available right now at vcy.org or by calling 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Tammy is calling from Niceville, Florida. Hi, Tammy. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. I can't tell you, this program is such an answer to prayer. I had my granddaughter this past weekend who goes to a Christian school, fourth grade, inner science class. She's not sure how long ago it was, but on a worksheet or a test, on a Christian school test for science, the question that was asked either on a worksheet or a test was, the answer was we should believe in God, in science and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that concerned me because why would you ask the question?
Let me just jump in there. Two thoughts.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
They're starting to take in money from government sources, and I'm seeing changes that I'm concerned about, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and it depends on where they're going to go with that. Two things.
What the actual question was.
Yeah, well, where they're going to go with that line of thought. You see, God told us to do science. He told us to take command over creation to understand it. So there is no conflict between science, which is simply a tool. It's a tool to understand creation and how it operates.
Well, look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, understanding of the sciences they were.
Right. When we start to simply carte blanche accept everything the scientific community is saying, when they are being trained, and by the way, I am a scientist. That was my entire career, to only look at natural causes, natural processes. Then you're teaching people to disbelieve the Bible. So that's where you step over the line. We're not against science. We're against the belief that everything made itself and the Bible can't be true in a straightforward, clear way. And that's what you just have to, even at Christian school, they rely on information coming from the world. And if they're not well-versed in the scientific evidence for creation, they'll get sucked into some of these misconceptions. And it's not science versus faith. It's one faith versus another faith. And what does true science, true observation show us? So just help clarify it with your kids. Even in a Christian school, they're likely to hear things that contradict the Bible. Well, what's the actual facts versus what are the beliefs that are involved.
Yeah, very important. I do have to move on because of other callers and just a few minutes remaining, but the book will be a great tool as well.
It is.
To pull together the biblical.
Separate the two. What's reality? What's science? And what's just belief?
Great. Thank you. Joyce is calling from Canton, South Dakota. Joyce, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. This is not a question. This is an offer. I love what you're doing. I have written a book on the creation evolution issue myself, and mm-hmm. that's the same thing about is order in the universe proves an order and all that. Mm-hmm. I want to offer my services for any writing, editing, proofreading, whatever that you need to do for whatever your
Leave your name when the program's done or with the with
maybe
the calls,
we can give out your sponsors. Website. And
sure.
And
actually, if you go to searchforthetruth.net, searchforthetruth, one word, .net, you can just send me an email with your name and address. Mention this show. And I will take you up on that because we're just a little two-cart, my wife and my ministry, and we need all the help we can get. So sure. Thank you for that offer.
Yeah, go to searchforthetruth.net, and you'll find other resources from our guest as well, and then email them through there. Thank you. And Duluth, Minnesota, Terry, you're on the air.
Yes, I believe in the flood, but why in all these rock layers we found all these fossils, but how come we haven't found human skeleton fossils.
Okay, very briefly, because we're about out of time. We have found some when it happens. They're assumed to have been shoved out of place into the geological column, or we often find just things that are smashed into fragments. I mean, there's skulls that have like 80 different pieces, and how you reconstruct them depends on your preconceptions. If you're it's a fact in your mind that apes turned into humans, and it's in a deep rock layer, you're going to reconstruct it as an ape-like creature. Otherwise, it might be constructed as a fully human skull, and this definitely happens, and there's many examples of it. Lastly, humans being very mobile, very intelligent, very smart, they would have likely, by and large, escaped the floodwaters to the latest periods of the flood. Their bodies would have been bashed and battered, and mammals, when they die, they bloat and float. And there would be very few human remains found in the rock layers. So they're very, very rare. But there have been exceptions, and they're just explained away. By the way, the original caller asked about how can scientists not see these things. If you really pin them down to the issues with evolution, they will answer that they have faith in the future the answer will be found. It's always one faith against another faith. It's not science versus religion.
Thank you for the call. We're out of time. And friends, there's so much that's involved, included in the book, Without Excuse, The Compelling Evidence for Creation. You can reach out to vcy.org or by calling our switchboard here, 800-729-9829. Donation of $18 or more. That does include the postage coming to you. And just a fantastic book. We're down to half a minute. What would you like to leave with the listeners?
Just do something. You know, this is a major tool of Satan to destroy the faith of our entire nation. And it's been going on for over 100 years. God is making the truth more clear than any time in history. This book is just a tool, but it's a really compelling, important, easy-to-use tool to try to get the truth in front of people. And God does the rest. Just uses us to put the truth in front of people, especially your loved ones, and then pray for them. Put your story in the front of the book as you give them away and make a difference.
Amen. Amen. And one comes away looking at this page after page with a wow, what a wonderful creator we have.
Amen.
Bruce, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
Bruce Malone, our guest here today, and friends, he's executive director of Search for the Truth Ministries, and they're really engaged in disseminating Bible-affirming creation materials. Trust you'll find help in this book, available at vcy.org or by calling 1-800-729-9829. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.